totally. I just thought of something. I'm gonna represent it symbolically here, really quickly. Just so this is Tops.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
I just have a pyramid eye being Tops.
Hey, you well, know, so, just go, real go quick, ahead. I was in the museum last week, right? And I'm in this Egyptian exhibit, and next to one of, like a placard, a picture, it just says, "Do you know why there's a pyramid on the back of the dollar bill?" And it says, "Most of the old presidents and whatever were members of a secret society called the Freemasons," and blah, 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 blah. I just found that kind of striking. I mean, I guess it's common knowledge now, but there it was for all the kids to read at the Egypt exhibit.
You have to. It's all, I mean, it's on every dollar bill. Everybody's looking at it all the time. Like, it's funny because you see it, like, on the internet or something. It's like, oh, the pyramid with the eye on it. Every time you spend, you're looking at it, like, it's one of the most universal things that people look at is a fucking eye on top of a pyramid in the U.S., you know?
But doesn't it seem like a little bit, I guess, to put that in a museum where the majority of people who are coming through and reading all that shit is children, I would imagine maybe that doesn't raise any questions from a child. Maybe they just don't even pay attention to it. I don't know. It just kind of.
If you told me that all my presidents were in a secret society, I want to know, really, what the hell does that mean? Because these are the most powerful men in the formation of the country.
Yeah, and it says I can become president, but I'm not in any secret society. Where do I join?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Has anyone ever – I'm sorry. As I'm looking at this cropped eye in the pyramid, basically what David dropped into the chat for anyone listening is just a close-up of the eye in the pyramid from the back of a dollar bill. But with this particular crop, you have just the letters N-U-I-T.
I know. It reminds me of Newt.
Exactly, yeah.
Totally.
And, of course, in the sky above. Making the sort of arch over the pyramid is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
If you look at Egyptian artwork, you have the classic idea of here's Newt sort of arched over the sky, and then you have Geb is this sort of phallus rising up into it. So as I'm looking at this, I'm literally seeing a giant phallus piercing the womb of the sky.
Sure. Totally. Yeah. Completely. And then if you think about like the Stella of Revealing, right, where Newt is, you know, it's just a classic Egyptian image of Newt. Like you can see it in the Eon card. It's just, I don't know. That's an interest. I never considered that. What is it? That's not New Secular Order. That's on the bottom, isn't it? I forget what that says in Latin. Do you know?
It's like a new order of the ages.
Yeah, new order of the ages. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And here we have again our parasitic. You know, does the parasite help the ant or hurt the ant? Because here we are. We all want to get to the top of the pyramid.
Dude, this is funny because you know, I don't know if you guys saw the latest collage that I put up. But at the top of it, I took the Lucifer rainbow, like, you know, on the back of the jacket and Lucifer rising. And I put it behind this symbol of the dollar bill, the pyramid. And then I have two serpents on both sides, like basically hissing or like, you know, all reacting to the pyramid. So I can show it to you real quick here. It's at the top in the middle of this. it's, I mean, this doesn't do it justice. I mean, this is a huge piece, but if you guys can see that there, it's just kind of ironic that, I mean, it's definitely, it's archetypal and it's what I'm looking at, but I wasn't even thinking about it as I was, as we were talking about this until.
Oh, I see this. Okay. You're saying this is the, in that small circle.
Yeah. Kind of trippy. And then it has Lucifer coming up out of it.
I like how you have Tron looking up at Metatron's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Hermes that he's pushing up on the ring. And then from the disc, it's Hermes, yeah.
So this is both Mercury rising and Lucifer rising.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's, yeah. I mean, I guess this is the thing with, like, the collages that I just do it. I just see the images and then... usually it gets laid out and then I think about everything after the fact. I don't even know what's going on. Like, I do on one level, I mean, I'm meditating on it, but at the same time, I'm like, we're having this conversation, I'm not thinking about my collage until just now. So that's interesting.
All right. I need to ask you guys, I have two things that I want to bring in here. I wanted to get back to Bill's point about the NSA, and I have a weird Rosemary's Baby thing. Which would you prefer?
Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby. Okay.
Thinking, yeah.
So, Rosemary's Baby. You know that Polanski and Tate were with Bobby Kennedy the night before he was killed.
Yeah.
Okay. I just threw on Rosemary's Baby the other night. I couldn't sleep. And Andras had sent me, I think basically what he sent you, David, that flash drive with a bunch of different sync films he had made.
Yeah.
So I guess you sent it back to him and he forwarded it on to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fucking crazy exhausted and was just like, oh, okay, I'm not really going to look at anything right now. I just, whatever. So, I apologize. So, Bill, I just was able to download your image. For this reason, our dollars have a pyramid on them with the Latin words, the new order of the ages, and God has favored our undertakings.
Mm-hmm.
This was, what museum is this?
This is the Field Museum in downtown Chicago.
Got you.
It just kind of jumps out at you in the row of just, you know, blah, 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 blah. Oh, and you know your history? Yeah. This is that. Kind of weird.
Yeah. All right. So where are we? We got so it's late at night, and I go, okay, fuck this. I'll just sort of look to see what's on this thing. So I didn't think I really wanted to watch Rosemary's Baby at 2 in the morning and I have to be up in 6 hours. And I'm like, I'll just kind of put it on. Now, there's a little backstory here. I don't even know if I can get into this back. Okay. I'm just going to drop it out here. Whatever.
I'm excited. There should be a drum roll.
Yeah. I'm gonna jump right to the punchline here, and then you guys can process, and then we can kind of do the backstory if necessary. But I pop this fucking thing in, I open it up. I never noticed this before, but literally, the very first thing when you start Rosemary's Baby, the first nanosecond of the film.
Mm-hmm.
You could picture, you have the Paramount logo, and the minute you actually see the film, so we're not including Paramount logo here, the minute, the second, split second that the film starts,
yes,
you see a New York skyline.
Mm-hmm.
In that skyline, you just see a bunch of buildings, and then behind those buildings, what you see is the Triborough Bridge. The Triborough Bridge in 2005, I think, was renamed the Robert F. Kennedy Bridge. So, now here's the thing. So again, we have Polanski with Bobby Kennedy the night before he dies, and that fucking Bobby Kennedy is essentially referenced in the very first nanosecond of Rosemary's Baby.
Who was the other person that he was with right before they died? He's with somebody else the day before they died. He's the Last Supper guy. I forget.
I don't.
He had dinner with Bobby Kennedy, right?
That was
thing.
I believe so, yeah. Okay, now. I think that is a pure sink for, I mean, obviously the bridge wasn't even called that yet and blah, blah, blah. But I think I understand how that happened because, and this is, you know, more like, you know, obviously the answer of how that happened is all sink. But what I'm saying is I think I got some insight into what Polanski was trying to do. If you look, when the movie opens, it says something like a William Castle production or whatever the fuck it says, right? Mm-hmm. Or I don't, you know, whatever the text there is. And so it opens on this Manhattan skyline and it starts to pan. What's happening is the camera's going north up the East River. Okay, so the first thing you see is the Triborough Bridge and you start to go north. Now, what I've written about, if you've in the section of Suicide Kings you guys have read, you heard me writing about this connection to the Triborough Bridge and the Hellgate Bridge, which is right next to it.
Right.
So what happens is that the first text comes up, a William Castle production or whatever, and then the camera starts panning north up the East River, and then the title, Rosemary's Baby, comes up. Well, when the title, Rosemary's Baby, comes up, it's superimposed over the Hellgate Bridge.
It's clever.
So it seems to me that was probably intentional on Polanski's part, right? Is I'm going to show Rosemary's Baby on top of a fucking Hellgate. But in order to do so, in order to time that out, since there's some piece of text that comes first, he has to start a little further south, which means he's actually opening on the Triborough or Robert F. Kennedy Bridge.
Wow. Wow. And okay, so that was the thing that there's the fucking Hellgate that in Death Valley that John F. Kennedy had to drive through on his way to Dallas.
Are you talking about the Kern Gate?
The Kern Gate.
As to whether or not he actually drove through it, I think is questionable. I don't know if that... I don't know if we can actually say that happened.
Okay.
But,
people like to say that, though, because it's so awesome.
It's just so awesome. Right, exactly.
Okay.
I haven't been able to verify that.
Okay.
Not to say that just because I can't verify it doesn't mean it didn't happen. I'm just saying it's,
verify that. That's cool. I want to find out if that's true. I'm gonna try and research that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have, but it would be nice to have, you know, something there. Because, yeah. So I like that a lot. That's really interesting. See, I don't live in New York, so I wouldn't have ever have caught in that. That's awesome.
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't. So I think, you know. It's the sort of thing where most people wouldn't really – I mean, you know, I'm sure there's enough New Yorkers watching that film that someone should have caught that at some point. Should have at least caught the Hellgate.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a slam dunk. That's, like, undeniable.
It's like going to the Sun Road.
Right.
It's like
– So I'm sort of astounded that no one's ever noticed the Hellgate Bridge. But – like I said, the Bobby Kennedy thing is a little bit more subtle. It takes, you know, it took how many, if it came out in 68, it took till 2005 for that to even be a thing to find.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like.
That's some foresight. Yeah. That's pretty brilliant.
That's a hell of a foresight on Polanski's part.
He's one of the best.
Or they named it that as a tribute to
exactly exactly. Lansky
did for the CIA.
What I mentioned to Andras was that he says to me, he goes, well, he's like, because I had to like call him right away. You know, I was like, oh, fuck this. I'm get out of bed. I call him. I'm like, motherfucker. So he goes, well, think about it. He goes, I feel like having that airplane. So since you have the White Album playing with it, you have this airplane noise. And he's like, I can't see the New York skyline and hear this airplane noise without thinking of 9/11. And I was like, well, sure, there's that. But there's something else. And this is, again, it's a little more subtle. I did a sort of Scott Onstadi type of thing on just pure, I don't know if we want to call this intuition or curiosity or something. But if you take a map of New York City and you see where the Hellgate Bridge is and where the Triborough Bridge is, and if you zoom in as to where the Triborough Bridge exits, so like it, you know, crosses the East River, and then it goes into Queens, and then the road curves. It takes you onto a highway, and the road curves. And the same thing with the Hellgate Bridge is it's actually for train traffic. It goes a little bit straighter, but then it turns. However, if you were to just take those two bridges, which are super connected, which all reference an entranceway to the underworld and all this sort of stuff, if you take those two bridges and you were to draw a straight line from the Triborough Bridge and the Hellgate Bridge into Queens, so going east, you will end up with this sort of, you know, compass-like points that extend out. I'm not sure at what angle. That might be something interesting to look into. But just basically, even though the two bridges are right next to each other, they're at slightly different angles. So as you go further away, there's more distance between these two lines, right? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what they end up completely, perfectly encompassing? The JFK Airport.
Ooh.
So the Triborough Bridge points to the southernmost tip of JFK Airport, and the Hellgate Bridge points to the northernmost tip of JFK Airport.
Whoa.
What's going on here, Alan Green?
What's going on is that I got to finish this fucking book because I think I hit some sort of weird fucking mother load here.
Yeah. You know, it sucks that so many things will come up and they just keep coming up around the thing. Like, since I did that sync book chapter, not only have I noticed three mistakes that aren't huge mistakes, but they're little things that if I would have spent more time with it, I would have caught. But major things that I want to add. Like, that's major. Like, if I read the chapter now, I'm like, oh, but you got to mention this. But that's the thing. You can just keep going forever. And there has to come a point where you're just like, okay, you know what? Fuck it. Here it is. This is what I got so far.
Exactly. I think that's been my thing, is I keep piling on. And it's like, okay, just maybe, you know, let other people find this stuff, or just at some point you just have to say, moving on. There's more here, but moving on. So that's a pretty big Rosemary revelation for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll take this one step further that you guys can, if you find this interesting or not, is it occurs to me that Robert Kennedy and John F. Kennedy, they had a sister named Rosemary.
Oh, fuck. Right.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Now,
that's weird.
What happened?
Also, that Rosemary was one of the murders in the Belanca killings by Charles Manson.
Rosemary Kennedy was born, they probably would consider her now like autistic or something. And the family decided to have her lobotomized. So this happens, I think, in like in the 40s or 50s. Rosemary Kennedy gets a lobotomy. And when you hear the doctors describing how they did the lobotomy, it's exactly what happens to Hal. Basically, which is a whole other little thing for me. But reading the doctors talking about, they said what they did is they cut her head open and had her sing a song, and they just started cutting at her brain until she stopped making sense.
Oh, fucking hell.
Like, once she wasn't able to sing the song anymore, they stopped cutting.
Oh, God. Like, you say that, and, like, I feel it in my body. I'm all like, woo.
It's horribly fucked. And at the same time, so taking this to this way, we have, so you have the idea that the same thing happens to Hal, right, where he sings his song while Dave is essentially lobotomizing him.
Oh, God, yeah.
Now,
Daisy chains and laughs, isn't that?
Yeah. Funny? Now consider that what happens with in Rosemary's Baby. What is Rose? What happens to Rosemary? What's her name? Whitehouse.
Woodhouse.
Sorry, that's a Freudian slip.
Freudian slip. Yeah.
Yeah. Rosemary in the White House. Exactly. Jesus Christ. what's the first thing that happens? It's an iconic scene. You can probably picture in your mind. What's the first thing that happens when she sees her baby?
She fucking screams.
Doesn't she cover her mouth?
Yeah.
She covers her mouth with, like, yeah.
So you have this idea where in the movie, Rosemary is taken by the people she loves and trusts into this room where they do horrible deeds to her, which is the same that happens to Rosemary Kennedy. Her family takes her to these doctors who fucking butcher her. And leaves her basically unable to speak.
Wow. It's like the Egyptian Book of the Dead, too, which is the opening of the mouth and the coming out into day. She's closing her mouth and stepping into night.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Now, let's take this a step further.
Close.
Let's take this a step further. If you want to follow this little sync thread that's going through my mind... what is Polanski, after making Rosemary's Baby, he makes Chinatown.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway.
So follow with me here. Now, if we want to go from the political angle, what happens is the death of JFK obviously leads directly to LBJ, but then after that is Nixon. What is Nixon famous for, aside from Watergate, but he's known for opening commerce with China. So we sort of have the Kennedy resonating Rosemary's Baby leading to the Nixon resonating Chinatown. Well, in Chinatown, it's of course Jack Nicholson. This is 1974, I believe, is Chinatown. The following year, Jack Nicholson is in the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which ends with him getting lobotomized.
Right. There's like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest has been driving me crazy recently, due to, Scatman Crothers' role in it, along with the Indian who is in Poltergeist 2.
The Indian's in Poltergeist?
Poltergeist 2, The Other Side. And like, there's something there that's like fucking twisting my brain apart.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
and then you can even take this to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest being written by the Merry Prankster who brought LSD, or as you posit, that LSD was the Moonchild. LSD essentially is Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah. So
you have the idea that The Shining takes it from one angle, that we're going to the moon, the moon room 237. Poltergeist is taking us also to room 237. You have this whole idea of entering the television, entering the moon. These are, which are all archetypes of the collective unconscious, right? The moon is our receptive feminine, Isis, unconscious id. The television is the place where we put all of those projections. Same fucking thing. And then you have LSD. It seems like actually a really super neat little expression of all of this at once, if you guys follow along with me there.
That's excellent. No, that you really nailed it there.
Yeah, I think you have enough connections there that we can safely call Rosemary's White Baby album Rosemary's White House album.
From the Woodhouse to the White House.
Exactly. Rosemary Whitehouse. So then the other part that's been really something, which I still recommend to you guys, is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band removing any one of the three songs that are 2 minutes and 37 seconds long. Gives you the timing if you start it from the point at which Kenneth Anger's name drops. So yeah, that's highly recommended. And it's very insightful in terms of like Jack Parsons and the OTO in general. And then if you consider that the what's his name? I'm spacing on the Warlock's name in Rosemary's Baby, Cassavetes.
Yeah,
That he is Crowley. There's just something really weird that happens there. Like it feels like that it should be watched like side by side with Rosemary's White Album if we were ever to do a showing, because they're extremely complimentary. If you know the backstories to things.
Hey, can I throw something real quick to the Bobby Kennedy thing?
Sure.
Which is, I think, speaks to. When you get deep into this shit, how weird it can get. Philip K. Dick's novel, Ubik, are you familiar with it?
Sure.
Well,
I'm not.
It was released in May 1969, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you know anything about Philip K. Dick, he was pretty much paranoid, borderline, schizophrenic through most of the mid to late 60s because... although I don't know the exact details, he felt that he was being monitored by the FBI, CIA for his involvement in some anti-war activities.
And drug running.
Yeah. And he, obviously he was dipping his head into the chemical bath. Sure. Not a lot, but enough to write some of the most prophetic and most insightful, you know, I guess you call it science fiction, but it's really like psyche fiction or psychological fiction. Anyways, so Philip K. Dick releases this book in May 1969. The first page, it starts on June 5th, 1992. So he releases that book in May, and then what happens on June 5th, 1969? Bobby Kennedy gets shot in the head. And... okay, well, what does that mean? Does it have any significance? Is it just a coincidence that one of the preeminent sci-fi writers whose new book in the height of the psychedelic age, 1969, starts on June 5th, and then they take out Bobby Kennedy a few weeks later on June 5th? I gotta believe poor Philip's head must have been spinning a million miles an hour.
Especially, and I said, I'm sort of coming at this from the Rosemary angle, is that consider that Philip K. Dick, most of his writing and a lot of his psychological things were imagining what happened to his dead sister, right? That like sort of that he's living out the story of his dead sister. Well, in much the same way, you have Rosemary Kennedy getting essentially her brains chopped out, and then both JFK and Bobby Kennedy get their brains blown out, that they are sort of living out a more active and over many more years, but they are living out what happened to their sister.
Huh. And what happened to the Grey Gardens girls in the first place? And how are they related to Jackie O? I don't remember. I know they're family, but I don't know how close a family. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. I don't know exactly how they're related. They're like a cousin or a something. I don't know.
Right. I was watching that, and I was pointing out to Amy how weird it is that Jackie O is into the Egyptian mythos as much as she was. You could definitely elaborate on that more than I could. I was kind of tripping out on the fact a little bit that Drew Barrymore ends up playing one of the Grey Gardens girls, and she's definitely been the subject of a lot of sync as Gertie and our classic 42 character. I like the idea, by the way, on another note, that 42 being mind control, as in K. Like the ant moving to the top of the tree to have a fungus grow out of its head. It feels like that might be what the 42 chain is doing to some of us.
Well, you know, when you just said the ant moving to the top of the tree to have the fungus grow out of its head, takes to me is a perfect representation of the Kabbalistic tree of life, is that you work your way up the tree, and once you hit the crown, there you find yet the fertile soil for yet another tree. So you're climbing the tree only to have another tree grow out of your fucking head.
Right. It's El Topo. It's like the higher that you go, the more it's breaking down. So the appearance it's not what you expect. You have an ambition and something in mind, and then you get the exact opposite. Or the end of the fountain when he takes of the tree of life and turns into Malkuth, basically, as Malkuth just burst up out of him, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Yeah.
I can't help but think of, as we're talking about all this, I mean, essentially having something burst out of your head, this is the very much the premise here of the Athenian, you know, so if MK is also our 42 Zeus, Jupiter, well, Zeus has his daughter burst out of his head. So here we have this, where Zeus gets to the top of Mount Olympus. He is the eye in the pyramid, and yet what happens is something blows out of his head, and the cycle starts all over.
Right. Yeah, totally. Wow, that's a mind fuck. Wow. And then this brings us to Daniel Pinchback's breaking open the head. Or it brings us to the monkey's head, I guess. Oh, boy.
So, here's something. I went and found that image from Dinosaur's Attack of the dinosaur wrapped around the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And here she's getting broken in half, and we have this the card is called A Lady in Distress, which of course is, you know, we could take that to Philip K. Dick, we could take that to Rosemary, all these ideas of the lady in distress, the sort of attack on the feminine, or however you want to play that out. But Bill, you wanted to talk about the NSA a little bit. Here we have, this is Lady Liberty, and we're talking about the when we say a lady in distress, in this respect, we're talking about American liberties in distress.
Well, we were talking about these parasites and this fungus that grows in the ant and makes the ant walk to the top of the tree. I mean, I can't help but equate the parasite as its ultimate manifestation as the internet. It's attached itself to the majority of Americans walking around in daily life, and they're putting feedback into this mechanism throughout most waking hours. And if the NSA is essentially tracking all information that goes in through and out of the internet, it's sort of like breaking open the fungal growth that has basically emerged out of the American public. And they're going in there to see, all right, we've always wondered what America was, and you've had the rich say America is this, you've had the poor say America is this, you've had white, red, yellow, black, green say America is this. Now we have this huge pulsing mass of information that literally the only information that went into it is from America to a certain extent. Let's see what America is. Let's see what exactly is happening here. It would seem to me it would be a hyperdimensional census of some sort. And what anyone might be afraid of is exactly who we are. It's not a fear of government control. It's a fear of awareness, I think. So, you know, it's NSA stands for National Security Administration.
Or as they used to say, it stands for No Such Agency.
No Such Agency. It's the National Sync Agency. I mean, all they're doing is they're taking an ungodly amount of information and they're just finding connections in it. And they're just seeing the picture of its structure. And
well, I think that there's the difference is that even when you stare into the abyss stares back.
Yep.
Well, right now, if the NSA is staring into the American public, we certainly have the right to turn that around and say, you can't just look at all our shit and be a secretive, you know, without telling us, you're not giving us any access to government secrets or government corruption, but you're going to peer into everything we do. Well, I think the American citizens have, you know, it's sort of the Constitution is written that we have the privacy, the government doesn't, and the government has managed to flip that around. And I think this, when this happens, well, the abyss is, if we are the abyss, then we're going to fucking gaze back, or I'm hoping we gaze back.
So if the government decided to come up with a synchronicity office of the NSA and they came knocking on Alan Green's door, would you take the position?
I probably wouldn't take the position. I mean, there would have to be a lot more that I'd have to figure out there, but
there's like a sweet government car and
I don't even have a driver's license.
They'd teach you, I think. But no, literally, what if they have all this information now, but they don't have anyone capable of making any sense of it?
Right.
And so there's a sync, a mind in tune with sync can look at all these, I mean, look what we've done with Hollywood movies and how many Hollywood movies are there.
I think I think that's actually, when I realized what it was I was doing with Suicide Kings, I think it's one of the things that's made it very difficult for me to boil it all down, is I realized that's kind of what I'm doing, is I'm gazing into the American psyche. As if we take that the world events are an expression of, you know, just as David said before, what happens in Oz is a mirror of what happens in Kansas, right? So in the same respect, what happens when JFK gets his brains blown out is a reflection of the American psyche circa 1963. What happens when the towers come down is the underworld reflection of the American psyche circa 2001. And I realized that I'm basically psychoanalyzing the collective unconscious of America through these events.
You're psychoanalyzing.
Yes, yes. And the book definitely took on a whole new meaning when I realized that was essentially what I was doing. And I, like I said, I didn't set out to do that, but I realized that's kind of what it is, because I'm realizing that these events are an expression of where the minds are at that point. You know, aside from also, you know, whatever government corruption and, you know, things like that. You know, for me, that's not even really worth getting too heavy into, because you say,
I'm pretty sure he did.
You know, well, what caused such and such? So it's like we could say, well, with the Rosemary's Baby example of the Hell's Gate, I could say, all right, well, he probably wanted to line up this with Hellgate, and he just had to backtrack 5 seconds, so he ended up here. You know, we could say that, well, the CIA wanted to kill JFK. You know, whatever the actual pragmatic explanation of these things are, it almost doesn't matter, because it's just the thing that helps manifest the unmanifested unconscious. So under a lot of these circumstances, I'm not trying to get into what actually happened or what was the pragmatic agent, you know, who were the agents that brought it into being, but it's definitely an expression of that. So I guess I'm doing that, but except not being on the payroll.
Right.
And, you know, the thing that you'd have to consider, and I think if you got a job with the NSA, which you probably can't do, is the government very much doesn't like to have that turned back around, as we're seeing with the sort of blowback where we have now a congressman from New York is calling for Glenn Greenwald to be arrested for breaking this story because you've exposed our secrets. It's like, how fucking hypocritical can you be? You know, the government breaks the law through warrantless wiretapping, and then when you tell people that the government broke the law through warrantless wiretapping, they turn around and say, now you have to go to jail because you exposed what we were doing. In this respect, one of many reasons why I probably wouldn't take that NSA job is because you can't section off and just analyze the citizens if you're not analyzing the institution and the people who run it as part of that mechanism. You're never going to see the whole picture.
Right. It was a point that was made by my friend Andreas with a recording that didn't work out a couple of weeks ago, where he was saying that the main trial, or not trial, but a hearing for the MK Ultra years later happened to be at the same time as Columbine. And so it got no headlines. Just interesting timing there, because that was like one of the, like, basically the biggest disclosure of, you know, kind of fucked up happenings within the CIA that's ever been. And it just so happens that there's no media coverage, very little media coverage of something that was, you know, historically huge. People weren't even aware that it was going on. That's really interesting. Also, it's interesting timing that this younger person is doing what he's doing, while I guess the other younger person who was in the military who put the I don't know if it was a radio or excuse me a Lady Gaga DVD disc or whatever that he put all the super classified government shit on and disclosed it to WikiLeaks, and he's now going on trial after all this time. They're just now getting that together simultaneous with this other incident. It's kind of interesting.
I didn't know he put it on a Lady Gaga CD. That's pretty perfect.
Could have been Lady Gaga. It may have been Christina Aguilera or something. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But he did put it on like some poppy female.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's worth looking into who that is, because if it was Lady Gaga, you have as you've been discussing the idea of Metropolis and all the implications of that that you would have the, you know, sort of smuggling out of the shadowy world through this, whoever the agent is, symbolically.
Yeah, I'm just for synchronicity's sake, I'm hoping it's Lady Gaga, because I was told that it was Lady Gaga by my rabbi, but then he was like, I don't actually know who any of these people are. It may have been one of the others, but that was funny.
So I want to discuss, I don't mean this like, hey, taking credit here or not, but, you know, what of the fact that, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, on Always Record, I had what I was almost embarrassed by afterwards, my little sort of meltdown over how the fuck is it excusable that everyone still loves Obama and makes excuses for him, and yet this is a guy, and I brought up the issue that his first week in office, he made sure to protect telecommunications agencies that were doing the warrantless wiretapping. And I brought up that issue and saying, how come everyone forgot it? It happened, and everyone went, oh, we'll just wait and see, give them some time. You know,
right.
You know, let's see. I still have hope. I still have hope, you know, wait and see. And then everyone just fucking forgot about it. And I brought this up 3 weeks ago that how come everyone forgot about these events. And within a week or two, this is major, major, major news again. Now like I said, I don't mean this like seriously, like I made this happen, but the sync of us having a show called Always Record with the image for that episode was Lieber Al.
Right.
And there's something to me kind of magical about saying, I want this to be an issue. I want people to be talking about this. And it happened. Whatever, like I said, I don't mean that as that I made that happen, but, you know, somewhere deep in my heart, I feel pretty good about this.
Right. I mean, I get, to a degree, I can appreciate, you know, that like, not, I mean, the value of not everything being absolutely in plain sight when it comes to, you know, government's workings. I mean, I get it to an extent. What I don't get is when it's not doing it through its proper procedures, you know. Oh, you knew that Bill was, you didn't catch that Bill was leaving?
No, I actually had stepped away from my computer.
Yeah, about a second ago, he says, sorry, I have to run. So goodbye, Bill. But he's leaving the recording, so we're still on for a bit, I guess.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is, like, as long as something's constitutional, I don't really mind. I understand the value of the CIA to a degree, you know? Like, I'm not, you know, completely against that, but I don't like, as I mean, obviously, I don't care for any, like, I feel the same way about the CIA with its undertakings that I do about when people are exercising their rights. Like, the government has certain rights to privacy, to an extent. And so, like, in the same way, like, if you are going to a demonstration and you're demonstrating your rights, like with the Occupy movement, as long as people are within their rights, we have the right, the freedom of assembly, and we can push that as far as we want to. Like, and that's a point to be understood. Like, we can do that. Like, if that's all you're doing is exercising your rights and you're being told you can't, then that's fucked up. In the same way, if the government's doing its undertakings and it's within its realm, who the fuck cares? So the issue here isn't that secrecy is being exposed. The issue is, what is being kept secret? Is it something that they're not supposed to be doing? Like, and so, but now apparently with the Obama administration, we've given up our rights. You know, I mean, I didn't sign anything myself saying I surrender all my rights, but essentially that's happened. I mean, I have the, I don't really have any rights anymore.
And this is what, so like, while we might be able to debate the finer points of, is the government entitled to secrecy? I mean, I think I understand your point, you know, but like I said, we could, the finer points of that could still be debated. Nonetheless, your what you're cutting to here is the most important part, is that if they are breaking their own law, then they need to be called out on it.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that this, that finer point could be debated, is because when we can't even find out that they're breaking their own law because they've garnered so much secrecy under the bullshit guise of, like, it's a war on terrorism, we need to do all this stuff. So they're claiming maximum secrecy, maximum rights to secrecy, and minimum rights to privacy for citizens. So it's like we can't even find out that they're doing something wrong.
Right.
And then there's the whole idea of this Patriot Act bullshit, which is that do you know if part of the Patriot Act says if the FBI comes in and searches your apartment without a warrant, they have the right because you're a terrorist suspect or whatever. The Patriot Act says they can come in and search you without a warrant. If they do that without a warrant, which is still illegal, if they do that and you tell someone about it, you've just broken the law. So even though they broke the law, if you tell someone they've broken the law, now you've broken the law.
Right.
And of course, you're the one that's going to go to jail, not them.
Right.
So when my apartment was broken into without a fucking warrant, when my apartment was fucking searched, technically, me telling you is an illegal act. I mean, I don't give a shit. You know, if you, of all the illegal acts that I've done, that's one I'm pretty fucking proud of. Well, you know, exposing a really shitty thing that was done.
Right.
So, but just like everything is so backwards. This is why like we are in the mirror world. We are in Oz in so many ways because we went from the Constitution guarantees individual privacy. It does not guarantee government privacy. There's nothing in there about government privacy. Now, you know, when you say like they should be entitled to a certain amount of privacy, you know, for certain, you know, maybe logical reasons. If there's, you know, we're going to invade Germany during World War II and you want to expose their plan of attack, you know, that's maybe they're entitled to that level of secrecy. And yet, if it's 2013 and they're invading Yemen, and guess what? There's been no fucking war declared. This is an invasive – this is an actual invasion. This is not a, hey, we're fighting the good fight against the Nazis. This is a, hey, we're fucking dominating the world. I mean, at this point, I have to wonder, is exposing – you know, if someone exposed that Obama was planning to invade China tomorrow – I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think you can hide behind national security. If you're a fucking – you know, if you're going to go invade another sovereign country just because you're on a power trip, I don't think you have the right to secrecy at that point. But again, so all these things could be debated, but I guess my point is that we really have – everything has flipped. We're the ones that are guaranteed the privacy, not them. And at this point, that script has been so flipped – that, you know, it's, you know, again, I'm looking at this fucking dinosaur's attack card, and I see Statue of Liberty getting demolished, a lady in distress. I mean, I think that's a pretty clear indication of where we're at.
Right. I like how on the back of that card it mentions that France is as upset as the United States, which is a gift from France. But anyways, you know, it's also a power symbol that's – I'm not even entirely sure if Lady Liberty is our symbol. You know, I mean, I don't know if that's for us. You know, that might be for somebody else.
Oh, sure. I mean, as you said, it's like, you know, having this sort of copper goddess and all these sorts of things. And there's the idea that Scott Anson also pointed out that the is it the pier on in front of Statue of Liberty? This is in one of the Secrets in Plain Sight. The pier coming out from where the boats dock, if you follow that in a straight line, it points exactly to, I think, the Kaaba.
Oh, is that right?
I believe so. So here you have Isis, this lunar goddess, actually pointing back to the, you know, the symbol of Islam, the lunar faith.
Well, to the meteorite from space.
Right.
So, yeah, I was giving thought while you were talking to certain things. I don't know if that buzz is going to be on the recording, if that's from Bill's or what's going on. Do you hear that?
I actually don't hear that.
Okay, well, good. Maybe it's just me. You know, one of the arguments that they were giving for this basically kid, I mean, I think he's like in his mid twenties or something, you know, that basically, you know, what's the word? I'm spacing right now. Basically whistleblower, right? Like he's calling these people out.
Yeah. Your sound just got really weird, buddy.
Oh, well,
Oh, that's better. That's better, whatever.
Okay. So basically they're saying that this is about people's lives and we need to make sure that, you know, they were saying that it's a danger issue. And, that turned out to be untrue. I mean, I don't know which, where that, they said all these people would die because of what he revealed. And that's.
It's just a fear tactic.
It's a complete fear tactic, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's the, rationale that's being put out there. And, it's really interesting because you'd think if somebody was exposing, things that were unconstitutional or things that were, you know, just flat out not right in the government, that they would be given a medal.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So it's like completely, it's always a, like we've come to accept, or a lot of people have come to accept that it's assumed that, well, this is all like for the good, for the higher good. And like, it's like, well, what's the point at which, you know, we acknowledge like, you know, injustice? Like it's just, it seems so straightforward on one level, but then I don't know. I'm as preaching to the choir as I could possibly be, but it's still worth talking about, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's sort of why I was, you know, it's like I want to talk about this on the show, and at the same time, I feel like I think we're all on the same page. And actually, at the same time, though, it's like what I realize is that a lot of people are not on the same page. Like I happened to go on Facebook last night, to put up something for Andras's Radio 8 Ball Indiegogo campaign, which he almost made, and he ended super, super close. So it's still, I would still consider that a big victory. He didn't make the 3,000 he asked for, but he think he got 2,800 something.
Somewhere around there, yeah. 830.
So that's still a pretty big victory, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But I went onto Facebook to just put the link up again, and I saw. Do you know who Marty Weeds is?
Mm-mm. Doesn't ring a bell.
He's like a cross between like a Scott Onstad and a I don't know. I really suggest looking into him. I really enjoy his work. He does a mix of like Kabbalah, Gematria, sacred geometry, all this sort of stuff. It's really, really interesting guy that I would actually like to have on the show at some point. I really enjoy his work. Anyway, I happened to see that he had put up something which was a video, Obama debates Obama, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, Obama from 2007, 2008, and all the things he said that like, about Bush's surveillance that was unacceptable, and then what he said last week, which is, you know, well, we kind of need to do this to keep Americans safe, and you know, you can't have a safe country without some people giving up some privacy, mm-hmm. you know, and all this sort of bullshit. So just sort of like these clips of like back to back clips, and he put that up, and there were people following him. Now these are, you know, this is a guy who's been on Red Ice, a guy who's been on a lot of the conspiracy shows or the alternative shows. You would think this is preaching to the choir. But there were people I saw commenting on his thing, and this is within just 5 minutes of being on Facebook, just happened to see this one thing, and people saying, well, you know, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe – and I was like, really? Like, it blows my mind. Like, if I heard some guy I went to high school with saying that, I go, whatever. You know, it's like, But if you're interested in alternative topics and you haven't figured out yet that these are – this fear is being projected on you to make you make stupid decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk about the parasite controlling the ant, you know, this is mind control at its finest. We don't need to talk about, you know, rays from space, fucking reptilians, fucking – you know, MK Ultra. We don't even have to talk about any of that shit. Just, this is mind control at its most basic. I tell you, if I don't get to fuck you in the ass, you know, a million people are gonna die. So, you know, I'm sorry, but doesn't that make sense to you? And you go, well, when you put it that way, I guess you're right. Let me pull down my pants. You know, that's fucking mind control.
Apparently he was asked recently why he you know isn't sticking by his guns with all the original things that he said in some press small press meeting or something, and he responded with, well, you know what happened to JFK.
What?
Yeah, I was told that by a friend. I mean, I believe that, you know. That,
oh, I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's apparently he said that. I mean, I don't know.
Come on, really? If that fucking happened, okay.
I mean, I need to look it up more. I mean, like 2 days ago, by a friend, but I don't. I mean, this is interesting. I mean, I could see him saying that, but you could be. The thing is that it's open to interpretation. You know. He's not saying that it's the CIA that could, the way my friend was taking it, that it was assumed that he was saying that the CIA would take him out. I don't know if that's what he was saying. More likely he was just saying, you know, he doesn't want to get killed, but I don't know.
Yeah. Find me a source on that. I don't.
Actually, it was, JFK and MLK. That my friend told me that he said, like, you know what happens to people who completely go against the grain, don't you? Yeah, I'll try to find your source.
Yeah.
But yeah.
that would be. I just.
That would be in your book. If there was a credible source that had him saying that.
Yeah, I want to see a fucking video of him saying that. And if he fucking says that, yeah, we'll go from there.
Because the video, I think he was quoted as having said that by somebody in the press.
That sounds like something – that sounds like The Onion.
Yeah, it sounds like The Inquirer. Yeah. You read in the mirror. You know that
– exactly.
Parnassus, he says – don't believe everything you read in the mirror, and then he's holding up the sun. So he's got a copy, Heath Ledger's got a copy of the sun, and then he says, don't believe everything you read in the mirror, and then you think, dance with the devil in the pale moonlight. It's kind of interesting. I think that was actually in my sync book chapter.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, I mean, as you're talking, I'm just trying to find something, anything. But
I'll ask my friend where he got that.
Yeah, please.
A Facebook comment. That was like a conversation I was having with somebody. So,
right. Yeah, please. Yeah, I would really appreciate that. I have my doubts as to the accuracy of that until I see something. It just that's too good to be true.
I was told that, I said that's exactly what I said. So I'm relaying it now.
Yeah,
that was my reaction. But at the same time, my friend's response to it was like, no. And so whatever.
But just before that, oh fuck, I don't remember where we were just before that. Preaching to the choir, Marty Weeds, something, something. Oh, that people are still saying, give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay, so it was like the idea of people still, and I don't know what it is. Is it, you know, in a lot of ways, I think I do know what it is. It's really why Barack Obama is the greatest choice for this power structure, is that people are willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, all the right wing people don't give a shit about civil liberties. So they're like, yeah, fight them terrorists.
Yeah.
And the people on the left who actually would care about these things, like, well, if Obama's doing it, he must have a good reason.
Yeah.
And I saw more people saying, you know, you don't know, you know, maybe when he became president, he found out that, you know, the security threats really were, you know, that severe that he needed to do this. And it's like, I just feel like there's no excuse to turn this into an Orwellian society or a, I mean, I think we're post Orwell at this point, but,
it was Orwellian in 1984.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ronald Reagan was very Orwellian. It was like, you gotta, as soon as you have an actor in there, then you know you're going in that direction there big time.
Right. So, like I said, I think this is the importance, is that there's enough people out there who are still willing to shrug it off. I don't know. It's mind-boggling to me.
Totally. There's this buzz that I keep hearing. Actually, maybe it's my own headphones or something. I don't know what's going on. I wonder if I took my headphones off and I just talk.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, there's still a buzz. Let's check. Let's experiment. Okay.
So, I guess what we need to do is if we wanna fight the NSA from always recording us, we need to do is keep talking about it and keep always recording us talking about it. I don't know.
You don't have to record us because we'll record ourselves.
Right.
And we'll post it on the internet so you can listen to our conversation that is very subversive. Anarchistic. It was this whole thing, you know, my friend had close friends who had their homes. They threw smoke bombs in their homes and basically arrested them. And I couldn't believe that when they were asked if they were anarchists, they were like, yes. I mean, they had their home smoke bombed for books that they had gotten off of Amazon, I believe. It wasn't even like, it's like, and it was for school. They were like, you know, they were studying this stuff and they were doing a report on it in college in Seattle. And, you know, this was like, my friend was super freaked out because she was like, oh, I know these people. And she was like, what happens if they come after me? I'm like, well, what did they say when they were asked? And you're like, are you anarchists? And she's like, well, they said yes. And I'm like, you do realize that their definition of anarchy is completely different than your own. And the way that your friends are most likely relating to this material is not terrorism, as terrorism as like 9/11, like, or something, you know, like, they're not looking to kill a bunch of people, you know? And she was like, well, yeah. And I was like, you realize that if you, like, it's a word and it's a charged word. And if they ask you if you are this word, that what you're agreeing to is not what you're relating to. And like, I was like, if they ask you if you're an anarchist, don't fucking say yes and stick and like assert yes. And like, and she had like a sense of relief around that because she realized, oh yeah. And it was like not even questioned that, like, if they ask you if you're something, you're going to say yes, right?
It depends what the meaning of is.
Right. Totally. But you hear what I'm saying. Like,
oh, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
In word, it's like, and what they have, like, the set of what this word means. Like,
it's the same way as, like, you know, if, you know, in some cases, they want to call this rebel group freedom fighters, and in this other case, they want to call this rebel group terrorists. So it's you get to play with definitions to suit your particular ideology or your political agenda.
Yeah, I mean, this is the person who had her house smoke bombed is like the sweetest. Like, just look at her. Like, yeah, she's got tattoos and whatever, but she's like a super sweet girl. Like, she's not going to kill anybody. There's no plan to kill anybody. I absolutely guarantee that's not in there. And so, like,
well, even like myself, like I consider myself an anarchist in a lot of ways, and my plan is not to – I don't want to go out with bombs and blow up government buildings. What I want to do is encourage enough people to make their own definitions for what the power structure is and what they will accept and what they won't accept, that essentially the power structure becomes obsolete. You know, that's a way to take it down. So, yes, my intention is to take down the United States government, but not through bombs, through – if enough people realize, wait a second, I don't have to give my power and authority and everything to a bunch of people in a room that are going to decide whether what I said in this phone call or in this email is worth putting me in jail over. You know, if you realize it's a bunch of fucking thugs who, you know, it's a purely mental thing. So the idea would be, yeah, you can just overcome the empire in a completely other way. I don't think fighting an empire is ever going to do anything.
No, that's the whole thing. That's why we're talking about completely different things.
Right.
But you know, if you're like, and she went into a courtroom and was asked, "Are you a terrorist?" And she says yes, and then she's got to deal with that.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. It's rough.
But just to, you know, quickly say, I mean, you said before about to give the benefit of the doubt is that I would be willing.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I need to qualify that and say anarchist. I said terrorist, I meant anarchist.
No, I knew what you meant. But that the point is still taken, yeah. It's like if someone had said, "Are you a terrorist?" and you said, "Yes."
Right.
Well, good luck.
Terra.
Yes, I am from Earth. I am a terrorist.
What kind of dog does George Bush have?
I don't know.
Sure. Okay, you were saying something. I interrupted.
Oh, when you said about, you know, it's like I would be more than willing to settle for a constitutional republic. That act, if we could all agree on that, and the government, we could actually get the government within those restrictions, and we could hold tight to that, I'd be cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on an ideological level, I think I lean a little further than that towards anarchy, but at the same time, I think some sort of strong constitutional respect is a nice middle ground that most people can agree on. Or at least we're able to agree on in theory. And it's just in practice, people are like, "Oh, fuck that."
Right. This would be great if we could just put aside this shit that's keeping us from doing what we want. Right.